morning, everyone. My name is Lamo. Geshe-la had to go visit a friend this weekend, so that's why he was not able to attend the Tara practice yesterday or lead the Sunday teaching, say. So would you like to join me in a few prostrations? Okay, so in the gold prayer book, turn to page 34. And if you have the white binder and not the gold prayer book, just turn to the first page titled Kadapa Center Prayers. And we'll start by chanting Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra three times. Te ata mune mune maha munaye soha te ata om mune mune maha munaye soha te ata mune mune maha munaye soha. Now the medicine Buddha stanza is on the blue sheet if you have the white binder and not the gold prayer book. So let's read the stanza first, and then let's chant the mantra right below that seven times. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, Lapis Light. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugata soha. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Now let's read the four measurables in English three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37, and at the bottom of the page you see two mantras. Okay, so, the first one is Chenrezig's mantra. He's the Buddha of great compassion. And then right below that, let's chant that 8 times, and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times, and she's the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their class. Okay, so before we get started, would you take a moment to introduce yourself to one of your closest neighbors or that you're sitting next to?
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I did. You made this one. Thank you. Okay, so let's begin with the short meditation practice, just to sort of settle ourselves from all the introductions. Okay, so we'll just do a short one. Okay, and then we can, but if you're not familiar with meditation, just try to keep your back straight. If you're sitting on a cushion, have your back higher than your knees. And if you're sitting in a chair, have your feet flat on the floor. And just try to relax all the tension in your body. You might even do a body scan. And try to feel the tension maybe in your forehead. Relax it. Your cheeks, your jaw, your shoulders, your arms, your legs, your torso. Just try to relax. And focus on your breath. Going in and out. Okay, so Let's do a sort of like a class review of the points that Geshe has taught on mind training. Kikula helped me with some of the points, most of the points. So I perhaps there are some people who didn't attend all of the classes or, you know, many of the classes. So mind training, the technical term in Tibetan is lojong. Lo means mind or thought, and jong means training or transformation. So lojong, okay? And the text that Geshe La is teaching on is based on Chekawa Yeshe Dorje's work entitled A 7-Point Mind Training. And let's see, I think this book was recommended, Achieving Bodhicitta. This is a book that is sold in the bookstore, and people can be following that this text also. So Geshe Chekawa heard about this eight verses of mind training transformation by Geshe Langri Tampa. And he was so, you know, intrigued by this teaching that he looked for him, and then unfortunately he had already passed away. So he got the teaching on mind training from his student, his disciple, Geshe Sharawa. And Geshe Sharawa received the teaching, on mind training, from Geshe Langri Tampa. So Geshe Langri Tampa got the teaching from Potawa, Geshe Potawa. And Potawa was a student of Drom Trungpa. And Drom Trungpa, as you may know, he was a very famous lay disciple of Lama Atisha. He's the one that took care of him so well. And he taught this to his students in secrecy. It was a secret teaching, secret practice. And, of course, as I said, Drom Trungpa received from Lama Atisha. And Lama Atisha got this teaching from Lama Serlingpa when he traveled all the way from India to Indonesia on a ship. It took a long time, and he stayed there for several years, and he believed that Lama Serlingpa was his great one of his root gurus, I guess his main teacher, even though his view of emptiness was on a lower school. And Lama Serlingpa received the teaching from Shantideva, and Shantideva received it from Manjushri. And Manjushri received it from Shakyamuni Buddha. So the teaching goes all the way to Shakyamuni Buddha. And this, the 7-point mind training teaching. Okay, so what is mind? What do you think mind is? What is mind? Oh, and please, don't answer any of the questions or contribute unless you are speaking through the microphone. I'm going to pretend that I didn't hear it unless I hear it from the microphone, okay? First of all, because I don't hear very well, so it's actually true. And also, people are streaming, and they want to be part of the, you know, classroom environment discussion, okay? Okay, so in Sanskrit, mind is citta, and in Tibetan, it's sem. So it's synonymous with the word consciousness or sentience, according to the Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive. So it's that which is clear and knowing. It's a formless entity that has the ability to perceive objects. It's an illuminating intelligence. So that's what we have. That's what actually is our mind. And so this is the first discussion, and what I want you to do is, since you like to converse, let's break into small groups and it's better to have small groups so each person has a chance to say something. Make sure every one of the person in the group has a chance to say something or at least ask a question. Okay? And so the first discussion question is, what does it mean to train one's mind? Why is it important? Okay? And then I'm going to try to get your attention. If you can't hear the bell, I'll just speak in the microphone. Okay? All right, so please sort of congregate again. And what does it mean to train one's mind? Why is this important? Thank you. We're going to have a few more discussion questions, so you'll have a chance to talk some more. Okay, so would anyone like to contribute to what they think? Well, what does it mean to train one's mind? Why is it important to train one's mind? Anyone like to? Oh, okay.
Thank you. Actually, this is going to be different from what I told the group. But I just remembered something very interesting, an interesting analogy. Why is it important? I mean, how do we start training our mind? First of all, by feeding the right wolf. I'm sure you know what I mean. And second, why is that important? So we can have peace.
So I read a Buddhist book called A Pebble in Your Pocket, and one of the lessons in there is to find a pebble that you like after going on a walk. Or you don't always have to find it by going on a walk, but just to find something you like and to talk to Buddha and say that, like, basically whenever you get angry, you'll hold it and focus on your breathing to, like, help calm you down. And it really works. It helps you find that peace and take your mind off of what's making you angry.
So the purpose of mind training is to, as an antidote to anger. Okay, great. Anyone else? So, according to Tricula's notes, training the mind is a main point of Buddha's practice. The true nature of mind is like space, like a clear sky. You know, I mentioned before it was clear and knowing, but it's temporarily polluted by troubling thought. it's like, you know, a diamond that Geshe-la says. It's like a diamond in a dirty cloth. You know, it's, the value is still there. It's just that you have to remove it from that dirty cloth. And so, dirty cloth, of course, meaning your troubling thoughts. And of course, that's what Geshe-la always has said. Those are, one of the things that binds us to samsara, the cyclic existence of birth, death, aging, and, old age and sickness is troubling thought. It's, our ignorance, you know, of the actual, meaning of reality, our existence, and also, the troubling thoughts that sort of add on to what we already have. The karma that we have created so far doesn't really act. You know, it doesn't get ripen unless you have a troubling thought. But if you, even if you had, you know, all positive karma in you, seeds in your consciousness, if you have troubling thought, then it ripens, you know, it creates that negative karma. So that's why we need to really train our mind. Okay, so here's the next discussion question. Okay, so Geshe-la frequently talks about the idea of a precious human life. Does your life feel precious to you? We know that naming particular points of gratitude can help us feel happy. Try to think of three concrete points that lead you to feel that your life is precious. Okay, so I'll give you 5 minutes to talk about precious human life. Okay, thank you. Now, this is a pretty easy topic, so would anyone like to contribute what one or two or three points that they lead you to feel that your life is precious?
Hmm? No. I'm just waiting.
Anyone?
Waiting for a hand.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Basically, just to help other beings. If we can help someone else's life be a little bit better, that makes my life precious because I make someone else's life better. And to be able to learn the Dhamma to benefit all beings.
Thank you.
There
I didn't get to share what I thought, but what I heard my group say was there's, in the question being, three things that helped me to realize this is a very precious life. It's, there's the people in my life that show me that, that it's a precious and short existence. And then there's all these things I can learn here, these teachings. Those things make this, if I pay attention for myself, if I pay attention to those things I'm seeing in books or what I hear people saying, it's special. And there's another thing, and then there's the experience that I get when I get to match those two things, is something that when I pay attention to that from that place of a calm mind, it's like, this is a pretty good deal. That's what I heard my group say anyway.
What about what you think?
That's what I think too.
So,
are you going to
our group decided that three things that make life precious can be that humans have the ability to connect and decide what we're going to do in our lives. Like animals, they kind of have to do what they have to do, but we can connect with other people and decide what we want our lives to be like. And so like we have free will, and we have the ability to change. Like if we practice peace for a long time, like your whole life, eventually you're gonna stop getting angry a lot. I mean, hopefully.
That's wonderful. We have very highly realized practitioners. Do we have something that's a little lower level, something basic, some basic things? Really basic, everyday things that make our life precious. Like, what about people who have never met the Dharma? You know, why would they think life is precious? Yeah. Unfathomable. Oh, here we go.
Some of the things that we talked about were the preciousness of family and of connection to others. And that preciousness was most highlighted in connecting and being able to help people we didn't know at sometimes random places or moments, whether it's in a grocery store or the subway or on the street, being able to help someone else. Mm-hmm. And all of that is within the context of knowing that we're going to die. And that is just the truth for everyone. And so that all of those moments point to how precious this time is.
Yeah, not to waste any time. Thank you. Okay, someone who has never contributed yet, anyone? So pretty much everyone believes this is a pretty precious human life, precious life, right? Everyone agrees with that? Pretty much. Very good. Yeah, because we were thinking of something very basic, too. Yes. Okay. So, we'll just move on. How to practice bodhicitta. So, bodhicitta, in case you're not familiar with some of the teachings, it's the altruistic intention to reach enlightenment for the sole purpose of enlightening all sentient beings. So what it is, it's a determination that I myself will do it. You know, you take the responsibility. You take on this task. So I think that when you hear about bodhicitta, you feel like it's just way out there, you know, out of reach, because it's really a mind that automatically thinks this without, you know, considering, you know, would I be able to do this, or whether it's a good idea to do this because I might have to sacrifice, you know, time, money, energy, whatever. So, but then the problem is that, you know, we are so stuck on feeling that, well, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of, I'm very stuck on thinking about my self-cherishing actions, all the unskillful things that I've done in the past, and maybe even in the present. So I think it's important to sort of move away from that and think about this this potential of how we can benefit others, you know, with the connection. You said that we have this ability to connect. And, okay, so this is the third discussion topic. It's about the way we cherish others. You know, I think this is mentioned. With regard to our own interests and comfort, what are the some of the ways we do in our, we do this, how we cherish others in our daily life? Okay, so let's try that for about, was 5 minutes too short? I, you know, Kurt didn't have a chance to, five was good? Okay, all right, so about 11:21.
Repeat the question.
Uh-huh. The way we cherish others, what are the some of the ways we cherish others in our daily life? Okay, wonderful. All right, so can anyone mention some of the ways to cherish others that you discuss in your group? Anybody?
Okay.
All right, I'll report for our group. We went to specifics. And how we cherish others is some of the examples were recognizing a gift that a loved one had given one of our team and texting that gift in use every day with a heart, to just keeping in touch with family and physical affections, you know, whether it's hugging or, you know, that type of thing. And lastly, just recognizing the person's individual humanity, their name or the background, just connecting on a human level. So those are from our group.
Wonderful. That's a connection seems to keep coming up.
We said something about not, we said many things, but one of the things was giving a person space to be who they are and how they feel at that moment, not force yourself to, not force yourself on them.
Right, I think
that's
thoughts. That's a sign of love to give space. Yeah.
We had a couple of different ideas about One thought was maybe a parent would let the child not go to school tomorrow. And another thought of cherishing is that the parent saying, no, you are going to school tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
There you go.
One of the things that we talked about was how easy it is to show kindness and to show love to those people that we know that we love. And even within that situation, to be mindful that, you know, sometimes you can do very simple things like making lunch for your child going to school feels like an act of love. Sometimes, you know, making the bed so that somebody else doesn't have to, or doing the dishes, somebody else doesn't have to, but making sure that you don't get into transactional thinking that, oh, well, I did the dishes, so why don't you take out the garbage? Like, why, I did this, so you need to do that. And making sure that you have the mindfulness to do these things without expecting something in return. And we also talked about, again, how easy it is to do something kind when it's somebody you love, but what do you do when you're, say, at work and you've got that kind of grumpy person and you have maybe a gravelly kind of relationship with one another? And what do you do in that situation? And we talked about being mindful enough to realize that if that person is that gravelly and that grumpy, that they have something inside of them that's bothering them, that they would enact it out on you. And to use your imagination and to use your empathy and just simply say good morning, or how is your day, or how is your weekend? And again, it's connection and really finding connection not only within your circle of people that you love, but connection with people who, you know, may be more challenging.
So I think all these actions of cherishing others is a very, not far from being the Bodhisattva ideal. Oh, I'm Dwight, I'm sorry I called you Kurt. Sorry. And anyway, you know, one might think that cherishing others and being the Bodhisattva might feel so far from one another or each other, but I think that it's really, the ideal is very, very close. It's just like a whisper away, because what you're doing is, I think, Geshe Chekwa talks about the three objects. So the three objects is, you know, someone you love, a stranger, or an enemy. And so we already talked about someone who's sort of like an enemy. You know, he's not trying to kill you or anything, but is a person that you are having difficulty at work. And then, of course, there's the stranger that we really don't care, you know, about. Really, you don't have very much feeling that it could be someone just walking by, you know, walking their dog, or just someone you see in the periphery. It doesn't really count that much, you know. So we have to bring that attitude of cherishing the people around you that you're connecting with those other two objects, which are the stranger and the enemy. So then you think about, oh, maybe the Bodhisattva is that, you know, that fireman who goes out into the frozen lake and rescues the person who was trying to rescue his dog but got stuck in the lake, you know, and they're both freezing. You know, maybe the Bodhisattva is the one who, donates his one of the two kidneys that they have for a stranger. You know, maybe that's the Bodhisattva. And, you know, we really look up to people like this. It's very dramatic, you know, like people being out on the beach and rescuing dolphins and beached whales and even beached sharks. And, And then you have people who rescue dogs and cats at the animal shelter, you know, just amazing people. So, and then, but I think what it is it's, of course, those are wonderful ideals, wonderful things, you know, to do. But then what do you think about the bodhisattva who spent years and years and years of training to become a, you know, like a licensed nurse or a medical doctor, you know, going into debt because of, you know, all the tuition fees, you know, going, spending all those hours and hours and hours of study. And, you know, also, I don't know, I heard that the, when they actually practice, that they'll go, like, they have shifts that are really, really long, super long, you know, I don't know how long, maybe at least 24 hours, and just amazing, you know, the social workers, the firemen, the teachers, you know, all of them doing this exceptional work, cherishing others, thinking, it's me, I'm going to do this, you know. Maybe the, like, for example, one time I took care of my grandmother who was dying, and I really wanted to join the nurses, the college program, the nursing program, because, you know, I couldn't do anything. All I could do was make her this great big old rice ball that looks like a baby's head, you know, and give it to her. And I didn't know how to help her. You know, if I were able to help her, maybe she would have lived longer. So I wanted to do that, but unfortunately we didn't have enough income to go to that training. But I think all of these are just, you know, this is me. I'm the one that, wanted to do this. You know, I'm not going to depend on others. So, okay, so, I know all of you have this tremendous goodness, but there are some people who don't believe that they are that wonderful. They don't believe that they can contribute anything meaningful to others, people's lives, and there could be some people here. So what I want you to do to point this out is I want you to raise your hand if in the past year you let anyone go first in line anywhere, at a grocery store, at the DMV, anything. Okay, yielded your car to let another one in while you were driving. Did someone a favor? You know, you made a donation, any kind of donation, money, blood, whatever, any kind of donation. You see? So we have these wonderful, either bodhisattva Buddhists or them in training. Yeah. Okay. So, I just wanted to point that out. And also, of course, that we all know this, that we cannot survive without the kindness of strangers. We couldn't survive even 1 hour without another person. For example, okay, say you were first born. You know, you were born. And then you were left on a deserted island. How long could you survive? Okay, and even if you were an adult and you had nothing with you except your clothes, how are you going to survive on a deserted island? You got to look for, you know, food, water, food, mostly water, and then shelter. You know, it's amazing. What do you do? You can't sew, you know, no needles, no thread, no shoes, nothing, you know. And then also, you know, you can think about the farmer who grows our food, the construction worker who builds our roads, our homes, this building, you know, the electricity, the gas, you know, the company that cleans the water so we can drink it from the faucet. You know, I learned that from visiting India. You know, that you could actually turn the faucet on and wet your toothbrush and, you know, and brush your teeth. That was, you know, just amazing. Okay. yeah. And anyway, okay. So now let's move on to the topic, exchanging self and others. So Geshe-la says that tong means giving and len means taking. So we take with to build compassion, and you give out of loving kindness. So this is one of the main practices on how to develop bodhicitta. Let's see. The other one is like seven cause and effect instructions. But this is, it doesn't mean, Pabongka Rinpoche, who wrote Liberation of the Palm of the Hand, says that it doesn't mean that you, that the self is now others and that the others have become the self. Rather, it means you are transferring cherishing yourself with cherishing others. You train the mind by feeling, I used to ignore others, but from now on, I shall ignore my own needs. I've been cherishing myself, but from now on, I shall cherish others. And so what you're doing is when you take, you're not like if you see someone who's blind and you take it, it doesn't mean that you become blind. You know, you don't imagine yourself as being blind. You take the suffering as black smoke and actually benefiting you by removing your self-cherishing that might be, you know, like tar on your heart that has been there since beginningless time, and it actually starts to melt it away. So that's like taking. And then, because you're taking out compassion, you're taking the suffering, so that's, you know, removing suffering is compassion. And then you start, well, you give out of love, you give all your, you know, your benefits, your all the virtue that you've created, you know, so forth, to that person, and then and then that person becomes maybe in the form of light, and the person is able to see. So that's what it is. The purpose is to benefit others. So okay, and then Pabongka Rinpoche also said that what we should do is we should start this practice on ourselves. So we take on the suffering that we will experience in the evening. In the morning we do this. We think about, oh, you know, I have something I have to do in the evening that I may have problem with, so I'm going to take on that suffering. And then you move on and take on the suffering of the next day, and the next day, and the next month, or the next year, or whatever. So you start with yourself. And what you could do is even do this. The black smoke and the white light doesn't work for you, you can think of it as the anger that you may have, like for the person who has been giving you difficulty at work, and take that anger as a baby and holding in your arms, you know, your own anger, and then just rock it and comfort it, and try to ease its suffering. So you could think of it like that. So let's do that. Let's actually do that practice, and you can do the take on your own suffering if you're new to the practice, or you can take on the suffering which is a little bit more difficult. You can go through the six realms. Take on the suffering hell beings, the hot hells, the cold hells, the hungry ghost realm, the animal realm, human realm, deva realm, you know, just do those, the six realms. Or you can do the suffering of just in the human realm, or, you know, whatever works for you. So let's do that. Let's conjoin our breath and do that, okay? So I'll sound the bell once to begin and once to end. Okay, I think we're kind of getting low on time here. I was going to go over the fourfold practice, but which is, you know, well, the first two, accumulating merit and purification and negative karma. But I think we want to do the praises to the 21 Taras, right? And then this is to remove obstacles to the light of the path retreat, one that's led by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. So I thought, let's see if we could do that. That would be just amazing. Okay, so it's, if you take the, it's in the gold book, it's on page 191, and if you have the, white binder, it's in the, on the page that's colored green. So, from your sublime abode of the Potala, O Tara, born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhists of the three times. Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara. You who rescue all who are destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. Oh, my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage, Tara, swift, heroic, eyesight, lightning, instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord of Three Rose, true bone lotus. Homage, she whose face combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with light rays resplendent as a thousand star collection. Homage, golden, blue, and lotus, waterborne and hand adorned, giving effort, austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere, homage, crown of Tathagatas, action, triumph without, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection, homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire, direction, and space, trampling with their feet the seven worlds, able to doff off all beings, homage, worshipped by the All Lord, Shaka Anibamamaru, honored by the host of spear, corpses of Gandhavas Yaks, homage with their threat and pace, destroying those magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out, blazing in a raging fireplace, homage to the very dreadful, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who was slayer of all enemies, homage at the heart her fingers, adorn her with regional mood, fiery masses all excited, all directions fields adorn her, homage she so joyous radiant, crown emitting garlands of mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas, homage she able to some, all earth guardians assembly, shaking frowning with their home signs, saving from every misfortune, homage crown adorned with crescent, moon on ornaments must shine, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out blush light eternal. Homage, she mistreat the blaze like, eon dending, fire abiding. Rise the flippant joy surround you, juice of enemies destroying. Homage, she who strikes the ground with her palm and with hoof to beat this, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she just conquer. Homage, happy, virtuous, peaceful, she who feels her peace nirvana. She endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage you with joy surround, tearing both bodies asunder, faces on the knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters, homage to the which he led, of the shape of syllable, whom Bhagavad Gita shakes the three rows, Meru Mandara and Vindya, homage holding in her hand, the hammock moon of Devalek, with my spoken Tara and pay, totally dispelling poison. Homage she whom God and their kings and the king of us do honor. Armored in our joyful splendor, she dispels dancings and conquers. Homage she who's twice bright, radiance of sun and full moon. With Vaisara and Tutare, she dispels the fear contagion. Homage full of liberate, empowered by the set of three natures, Jososo spirits, yakshas, and race corpus supreme Ture. These praises with the mantras and prostrations of Star 21. Let's turn to page 190 and we'll read the prayer of the benefits. Okay. Whoever is endowed with devotion to the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering it at dawn, upon waking, and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus, endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the sufferings of tormas caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled and all obstacles pacified. And now for the dedication, let's go to page 246 and 247. Read the one from written by Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. No one would be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. For sick and ill, quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid. May those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. As long as they remain, as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And now some long life prayers on page 244. We'll start with the one for His Holiness, and then on page 245, the one for Yume Khyen Rinpoche Jetsun Losang Dalek. And then the one for Lama Zopa Rinpoche. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great vision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjunas Victorious Doctrine, who massively accomplished magnificent prayers, honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself, and others, your disciples. Please, please, live. And then seven green tar mantras for Geshe-la and Geshe Sangpo's long, healthy, happy life, so they will be free of obstacles, and so all their Dharma wishes will be fulfilled. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.